नारदः सह तुम्बुरुः प्रत्युत्थायाभिवाद्याय वाद्याः सानुजोऽभ्यर्चयन्मुनिम् अथा जगाम भगवान् नारदः सह तुम्बुरुः प्रत्युत्थायाभिवाद्याः सानुजोऽभ्यर्चयन्मुनिम् अथा जगाम भगवान् नारदः सह तुम्बुरुः प्रत्युत्थायाभिवाद्याः सानुजोऽभ्यर्चयन्मुनिम् अथा च गाम भगवान् नारदः सह तुम्बुरु अत्युत्थायाभिवाद्याय सानुजोऽभ्यर्चयन्मुनिम् अथा जगाम भगवान् नारदः सह तुम्बुरु प्रत्युत्थायाभिवाद्याय माताजी कोई ओके अतः देर आफ्टर आज गाम अराइव्ड भगवान द गॉडली पर्सनालिटी नारद सह तुम्बुरुः अलोंग विथ हिज तुम्बुरु म्यूजिकल इंस्ट्रूमेंट प्रत्युत्थाय having gotten up from their seats, abhivadya, offering their due obeisances, aha said, sa anujaha, along with younger brothers, abhyarchana, thus while receiving in a proper mood, Munim, the sage. Translation. While Sanjay was speaking, Sri Narada, the powerful devotee of the Lord, appeared on the scene carrying his tumburu. Maharaj Yudhishthir and his brothers received him properly by getting up from their seat and offering obeisances. Purport. Devarshi Narada is described herein as Bhagavan due to his being the most confidential devotee of the Lord. The Lord and his very confidential devotees are treated on the same level by those who are actually engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Such confidential devotees of the Lord are very much dear to the Lord because they travel everywhere to preach the glories of the Lord in different capacities and try their utmost to convert the non-devotees of the Lord into devotees in order to bring them to the platform of sanity. Actually, a living being cannot be a non-devotee of the Lord because of his constitutional position. But when one becomes a non-devotee or non-believer, it is to be understood that the person concerned is not in sound condition of life. The confidential devotee of the Lord treat such illusioned living beings, and therefore they are most pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who actually preaches the glories of the Lord to convert the non-believers and non-devotees. Such personalities as Narada, must be offered all due respects like those offered to the personality of Godhead himself. And Maharaj Yudhishthir, along with other noble brothers, were examples for others in receiving a pure devotee of the Lord like Narada, who had no other business than to save, no other business even except singing the glories of the Lord along with his Veena, the musical stringed instrument. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilatam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we are celebrating the Holy Name Week. And Narad Muni is a perfect personality to celebrate the Holy Name Week. He is not only moving around in India or in this world, he is moving around in all the planetary systems, including Vaikuntha, including Goloka Vrindavan, including everywhere, wherever he goes. Narada Muni Bajaye Veena Radhika Ramana Name, singing the holy names of the Lord, distributing that holy name of the Lord for devatas, manushas, rakshasas, daityas, danavas, the liberated souls who live in Vaikuntha. For everybody, he chants the holy name. So we should not think that the holy name is not required in the spiritual world. What is the purpose of holy name? The holy name is the essential ingredient in the place where time is active in the sense of effect, and in the place where time is not active in the sense of effect. Time is inconspicuous by its absence over there, and it's present over here inconspicuously. In both the places where whether time affects us in various ways or it doesn't affect us in any way, the holy name is applicable, powerfully applicable and effective in the lives of conditioned souls and in the liberated souls who are serving the Lord personally also. So this is the glory of the holy name. It is not that only in Kali Yuga holy name is very important. Kali Yuga was important in Satya Yuga also. It was important in Treta Yuga also, in Dwapar also, in Kali also. Only thing is the other methods and other qualifications of people, they diminish as Kali Yuga comes. So the holy name just comes up and shines. Otherwise the shining is always there. Lord Ramchandra wrote the name, did write the name, and through the stone sank. And all the devotees, Hanumanji, everybody wrote Lord Ram's name and the stones floated, right? And so many glories of the holy name. Even the Lord Ram's astra did not penetrate the kavacha created by the holy name chanted by Hanumanji. You can see the power of the holy name. Lord Ram wanted to again and again tell everybody that even I release an arrow. No need to have Brahmastra for Lord. Ram Baan itself is enough, what comes out of Lord Ram's bow. And nobody can, ever check the target or save the target. But it's only holy name which prevented Lord Ram's Baan also. So, we need to understand that holy name was always powerful as much as it is now. It is especially prominent because other things are not very active. No tapaha, no dhyana, no yajna, no archa vigraha puja, as effective as other times. No sadgunas, no tapasya as other yugas, no renunciation, no knowledge, no virtues, So, We are very fortunate because we are in Kali Yuga, and that too 1000th Kali Yuga of this particular era. Because only in 1000 Divya Yugas once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and once Krishna comes in Dwapar. It's not that every Dwapar Krishna comes and every Kali Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. We are fortunate because we are in the Kali Yuga where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just arrived. Srila Prabhupada always would say, just off recently, only 525 years back. In the middle of the millions of years which each Yuga and Divya Yuga has, you know. So we are still, it's like when you offer a aarti to the Lord, na, in a very fragrant agarbatti, and aarti is over and you come after 25 minutes, still the fragrance will be all in temple room. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 48 years distributing the holy name, chanting the holy name, relishing the holy name and the love along with that. So the fragrance is still there. It's not very far. We can still feel the vibration. Moment you come amongst the devotees, when they chant the holy name, and if you happen to be in Mayapur, if you happen to be in Vrindavan, immediately you feel, because you are connected. It's not that the power of holy name is not there in Bombay. Because we are disconnected sometimes, or the people, we don't feel. But in the holy dham, it's constantly going on. So immediately we get connected. So yena kena prakarena, in whatever way possible, we have to get hold of the holy name of the Lord. It may be that we are not austere. It may be that we are not knowledgeable. It may be that we are not so much dedicated into the activities of devotional service. But if we have attachment to the holy name, liking for the holy name, and we dwell in the holy name, we chant the holy name together alone in the morning and together with the devotees whenever possible, we should know that anybody who is however fallen can be delivered from the cycles of birth and death. It takes little time to even believe this also. How can this be possible? So many thousands of years tapasya people are doing, vratas they are doing, austerity, tanyas, tyaga, and still it is so difficult to say, manushyanam sahasreshu. But all that is made easy when we take the shelter of the holy name. And people like Haridas Thakur have sacrificed their life, have tolerated life-threatening attacks on them, and have still not given up the holy name. So much faith and so much conviction and dedication, commitment to the holy name, that what Haridas Thakur said, that beautiful Bengali verse, that let my body be broken into thousands of pieces, and each thousands of pieces, let them be broken into many thousands of pieces. Each particle of my broken body will chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That means actually Haridas Thakur was ready to be broken into thousands of pieces. And it was quite impending on him. It's not that he was like talking some dialogue of poetry. No, they wanted to kill him. And they were ruthless people. Their history is known to be ruthless. And he was right on the verge of death. But still he had that courage to say that let my body be divided into thousands of pieces. Imagine if we are like that. Huh? How wonderful it will be. Lord Krishna also showed Yudhishthira Maharaj one day that Arjuna's each and every hair follicle was chanting Krishna's name. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, why did you choose him? Why not any of us? We also love you. So one time when Arjuna was sleeping, Maharaj Yudhishthira was told by Krishna to go and put your ear on any part of his body. Each part of the hair follicle is resounding with the holy name of Krishna. So Yudhishthira Maharaj understood. So holy name is existing in Dwapara Yuga also, in Treta Yuga also, in Satya Yuga also. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Dhruva was chanting. So holy name, so many saintly people have dedicated their life, sacrificed their life, sacrificed the peace of their life to give us the holy name by creating an example of themselves. So it will be our tribute to them. When we chant the holy name, it's a tribute to them. We honor, we appreciate, we acknowledge what you have done. for the humanity at large, at least I can chant the holy name and reciprocate in appreciation for what you have done for all of us. What Haridas Thakur has done, nobody can imagine to do. Mayadevi became his disciple. Maya personified. Forget about alluring him. She felt like surrendering to him and taking initiation. Imagine the power of the holy name. We are not here to defeat Maya. We don't want to say, Maya, come, let's have a fight. I will defeat you. This we cannot say, dare to say that. Neither he was trying to do that. But the holy name is such that when chanted purely with deep devotion, the holy name automatically will defeat Maya. Maya doesn't have to be challenged and defeated in the war. She herself comes forward and says, Hare Krishna, I take you. Come, I will deliver you. I will not bind you. The one personality which binds everybody, the three gunas, tightly, birth after birth, in the action and reaction of karma, she will herself release us from all that, willfully and lovingly, when one will chant the holy name. So, when we have no qualification, we can have one qualification, that we have faith in the holy name and we chant the holy name all the time. Holy name is full ocean of nectar. It is not simply a sound which we have to repeat because we have been told. No. When we chant the holy name repeatedly and follow principles given by spiritual master, the holy name sound will give you the taste of ocean of nectar. Ocean of nectar which is always increasing in quantity and quality. And that is our fortune. Because I can see that, you know, many places we go to attend some, you know, dead body, you know, we go to visit them. And devotees are very devotionally chanting Hare Krishna. And then many relatives come one by one, they keep just coming, coming, coming. And some people sit down and we say, chant, you please pray for him. We also guide them. When I chant, when you repeat, you please pray that, oh my Lord, give him shelter. And we say again and again, please chant. And we chant and some devotees chant, but they don't chant. Their lips are tightly closed. But they are listening, but they don't chant. Then we understand what is our fortune. We have natural inclination when somebody is chanting, immediately we, this baby was sitting here. Such an inspiration. I am chanting Radha Madhava, and the baby is naturally chanting Radha Madhava. That is called fortune. Because everybody is naturally a devotee. But many people have chosen to go away from Krishna, the Supreme Lord, in knowledge or ignorance. Some people knowledgeably, knowingly don't want to. And some people ignorantly don't know what to do, and they are not. But we can see fortune and misfortune very clearly in people. When people are very, spontaneous in chanting, that means there is fortune. And when we tell them again and again, still they can't open their lips, misfortune. There's no other misfortune in Kali Yuga. I'm poor, I don't have a child, I'm not married, I don't have a permanent house, I'm still in rental house at the age of 50. My wife doesn't talk to me properly, my husband doesn't talk to me properly. This is not misfortune. My son doesn't study, he doesn't earn any money. These are all multiple byproducts of the main misfortune, that we don't have attachment to the Lord. All these misfortunes come because we have given up the Lord and His holy name, and there are so many gunas working on us heavily, tightly bound by the ropes of the gunas. We act and there are reactions, and the reactions are bogging us down and resulting into no taste for the holy name, no desire to chant the holy name. And here in the kingdom of Krishna, in the temple, we are all endowed with the fortune, all the time holy name. You come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, all time holy name. You go in the lift, you go in the veranda, you go in the room, go in the ward, go in the laboratory, go into the X-ray department, wherever you go, Prabhupada is penetrating your heart through your holes of the ear. Karna Randra, penetrating to purify our existence. And we should not just passively participate in the environment. You should take active part. If the holy name is falling on our ears, we should immediately chant, murmur, but respond. That is our fortune. Because finally we have to do satatam kirtayanto mam. Finally we have to not chant 2 hours every day. Finally we have to chant all the time during the day, even during the sleep like Arjuna. We can't say, oh, Arjuna is Arjuna, I am not Arjuna, but I can desire, no? I may not be able to, but I can desire, I would like to, if possible. If I can just wake up in the night, Krishna, I'll be happy if I can do that. That is wonderful and that is really blissful also. Safe also, free from fear also. Because holy name really takes us away from all the fear. Any fear we have in life, the holy name can dispel that fear. You become abhay when you take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. So let us take this seriously. Finally, we do Bhagavatam class, we have festivals, we go to yatras, we do Ekadashi Vrata, we do so many. Ultimately, for what all we do? For what purpose? So that we can chant the holy name. So that we can chant the holy name. This is the only purpose. So that we can develop the taste to chant the holy name. So that we develop the liking to chant the holy name. So that we love the holy name. So that we immerse ourselves in the holy name of the Lord. All our activities put together are not worthy if they do not create the taste for the holy name of the Lord. Na utpada yetam ratim. All the effort is waste if that all the efforts do not create rati for Krishna and for his holy name. So why we waste our time? If we are doing so many Krishna conscious activities and we are not conscious of developing taste for the holy name, then why we do all those activities? So when we do all those activities, we should also know that these all activities are meant for me to develop taste for the holy name. And if it's not getting developed, inquire from fellow devotees. Ask why this is not happening. They will diagnose where is the hitch. Work on that hitch and get out of that hitch. And somehow or other, yena kena prakarena, develop that taste for the holy name. And the eagerness that we have to chant the holy name, Krishna has much more eagerness to hear when you chant the holy name. When we chant in the morning, we have a certain amount of eagerness. But millions of times more eagerness, Krishna is sitting there to hear the holy name that you are chanting, I am chanting. So at least for the sake of his enthusiasm, we should chant enthusiastically. Isn't that true? I'm not interested. I'm lazy. I don't have taste. I didn't sleep in the night yesterday. I had a fight in the house and I had a heavy day yesterday. Today I don't have any mood. But somebody is sitting there. Because you told, I will chant at that time. Somebody is sitting there and Supreme Lord, all loving Lord is sitting there with Radharani, waiting to listen to the holy name that we are chanting. So we have an obligation. They wait. Even for Gayatri's demigods wait. That is Brahman Dikshit fellow will chant. And I give blessings. So at least we have to be, you know, grateful, reciprocal to the mercy which is already being shown to us causelessly. Isn't that true? We all have to be aware of this. So coming back to the verse today, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and Vidura. They have just left without telling. And Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't find them. As in the morning he comes to offer obeisances to the seniors. Such a fantastic practice. All of us should do this. Every day when we get up and get ready, seek the blessings of seniors at home, wherever. When you come to temple, take the blessings of seniors. So he went to take the blessings and he didn't find them to take the blessings from. So he went to their personal assistant, Sanjay. And Sanjay also was completely in agony, pain of separation, where my masters went, they cheated me. So he expressed his sorrow and inability to explain where they went. At that time, Narad Muni entered. This is the quality of a pure devotee. Like Narad Muni. They will come at opportune time. I remember also in my life also so many occasions were there. And I was in total dilemma, confusion and distress. And at the same time, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has arrived or entered or landed in the scene and completely dispelled the darkness of distress. So this is another blessing. How many people in this world have these blessings? That we are in distress and a pure devotee comes to just rescue you. We cannot fathom. We haven't done any kind of amount of tapasya to be worthy of that, you know. So Narad Muni is that kind of personality. And Prabhupada so beautifully writes, you know, very simple words. He is addressed as Bhagavan because he is pure devotee of Bhagavan. And he is to be respected and honored as much as we honor the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Prabhupada, on the first initiation day, first initiation mini gave, on the first Janmashtami in America in 1966, and that was 8th September 1966, when he gave initiation, that was Janmashtami, and 9th he gave initiation, 9th September. And he only said one line, okay, tomorrow we are giving initiation. And when you take initiation, you have to worship the Supreme, the spiritual master as Supreme Personality of God Himself. And it was like a bombshell. Everybody was so shocked to come to know that. What does he mean? What is this? I'm not taking. Are you taking? And there was so much of, you know, discussion going on. And they went to Kirtanand Swami because he was supposed to be learned amongst all and very cool and understanding. So he very coolly answered, you are already worshipping him as God. Everything what he is saying, you are already following. So, then everybody, then they all said, but he said he should be worshipped as God after initiation. He said, you go and clarify to him. He will explain to you. So they all came back on his advice and met Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you said, we have to worship you as God. Are you God? He said, no, I am not God. But you have to worship the spiritual master as good as God. Spiritual master is never God. But disciple has to worship him as God. And everybody was pacified. Everybody changed their mind. Yes, we will take initiation tomorrow. So it is not Mayavad that spiritual master is God. Namo Narayana. It's not like that. He doesn't feel he is God. We treat him as good as God. That doesn't mean he is God, but we don't have God with us, so we treat him, and that worship, whatever we offer to him, is conveyed to the Lord through the agency of spiritual master. So Narad Muni comes, and Yudhishthira Maharaj, Sanujo, with his younger brothers, offered him pranams, offered him abhyarchana, that is worship. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that they were very eager to complete their worship because they had a lot of agony in their mind. How would pure devotees think like this, you know? If common men are there and old people are vanished from home, they say, "Theek ho gaya, anyway, it's fine. We are now free from all the anxieties." The pure devotee is thinking, oh, did I mistreat them? Oh, did I do anything less than what they deserve? Were they angry? What happened? Anything wrong we did? So that consciousness is pure devotee consciousness. Always looking into ourselves for finding out faults and always looking into others for finding out good things. As soon as we come in consideration, there's a lens to find out faults. As soon as others are concerned, there's a lens to find out good things in others. Our Ranchod Das Ji Maharaj, the guru of Arvind Mofatlal Ji, would say that never find any faults in others. Always find good in others. Never find good things in you. Always find faults in yourself. This is the life of a sadhu or a devotee who is sincerely aspiring for perfection. If he does this thing, it's a difficult thing, it's not easy. The nature is that find faults in others and nature is glorify good things in you, ourselves. Exactly opposite we have to do because spiritual life is exactly opposite material life. So it requires a lot of practice, lot of reminders, lot of cultivation, lot of association, reminders, friends, helping each other. But it's not impossible. Because then at one point of time, we see our spiritual master, we see Prabhupada, how always looking into good qualities of others. And not only looking into good qualities of others, but magnifying them. One is that you see and you ignore. You see the faults and you talk about it. And see the good things and you ignore. But then you see the good qualities and you start acknowledging it. And you see bad qualities and you don't even talk about it. And next is, you see good qualities and you magnify it. You more and more magnify it. And you see bad things, but you just don't even, at one point in time, you don't even see any bad things. The lens has been such a way programmed that bad qualities are not seen in that. Only good qualities are seen in magnified manner. So, Narad Muni comes and he gives them a lot of solace and philosophical guidance also. And also, see, his guidance is in two ways. He gives them first philosophical treatment. Everything is temporary. Life is temporary. Why you get attached? Everybody is tied with the strings of time. Everybody is affected by time. So those who go, we should accept the reality as that and continue our life. Our life is full of and happiness also. And at the same time, there is goal also we have, which we should pursue. And sometimes philosophy doesn't work on an aggrieved person till you get actual answer. Like Vasudeva was telling a lot of philosophy to Kamsa. It didn't enter in his brain. But when he said, I will give my all children to you, he understood. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was then told, don't worry, both of them gone to north at the southern angle of Himalayas with the able personality Vidura. And now Dhritarashtra is, Maharaj is learning yoga, he is fasting, his wife is with him, doing the same thing, Vidura is guiding. And very soon, from I think fifth day from now, he will be liberated. Don't you worry at all. So he came, did the appropriate surgery perfectly and immediately left. And that is why Prabhupada mentions that such devotees are very, very dear to Krishna. Because they do Krishna's business. What is Krishna's business? Krishna's business is to deliver all the conditioned souls who have left him and come in the material world. That is his business. That is his own family personal business. And whoever joins his business, he becomes very dear to Krishna. And Krishna says in Gita, nobody will be ever more dear to me than that person who tells my message, which I told you, to others. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so many fruits of love of Godhead, I can't distribute alone. I need assistance from you all devotees. And all of those devotees, when they assist him in distributing those fruits, they become very, very dear to Krishna, very, very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, many people ask me through WhatsApp and through personal meetings that, Prabhuji, I don't have any realization, how can I preach? I said, 1 year old Saraswati didn't have any understanding of R of realization. But she was told, stand here and speak. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And she was telling everybody who was coming there. And many people got really impressed and attracted. And their heart melted. As a 1 year old girl talking about the ultimate truth of life so innocently. And that affected the hearts of people. Afterwards, Saraswati must have grown into now 50s and 60s and 70s, maybe, I don't know. But that time when she had 1 year old, she had no understanding. But still it mattered. It affected people. So similarly, I may not have any realization. What we have to do is just repeat if you don't have realization. Whatever you hear and read from scriptures, from authentic sources, repeat. And because it is authentic and heard from authentic source, it will have its effect. At times we know, we said something and people became devotees and now they are much, much more in advanced position than what we are. It's a fact, it's a reality. Because what we are giving is perfect. Srila Prabhupada said, I may not be a pure devotee, but I am giving you a pure message of my spiritual master and the scriptures ordained by Krishna. So, you see, when we want liberation, when we want salvation, when we want perfect goal of life to be achieved, we know by common sense that the one who is going to bestow upon us that gift of pure love and bhakti, if he loves us and we become dearer to him, will he not easily bestow that fruit to us? जिससे काम करवाना है वो अगर हमसे प्रेम करता है तो हमारा तुरंत काम हो जाएगा. तो सिमिलरली आई नो क्वालिफिकेशन, आई एम नॉट ऑस्टियर, आई एम नॉट नॉलेजेबल, आई एम नॉट एनीथिंग, बट आई नो इफ आई बिकम डियर टू हिम देन माई वर्क विल बी वेरी इजिली कंप्लीटेड एंड अटेन अचीव्ड. एंड ही हैज ऑलरेडी गिवन यू फॉर्मूला, इफ यू वॉन्ट टू बिकम डियर टू कृष्णा देन यू हैव टू स्प्रेड द मैसेज गिवन बाय कृष्णा टू अदर्स. So let us do that. Whatever capacity, we may not know shlokas by heart. Some people are very having that siddhi, you know, they can quote shlokas one after another beautifully, lovingly, nicely, sincerely. And some people may not, but they remember the meaning of the shloka and they tell that. Both are equal actually. One is impressive, but effectively both are equal. And when we do that, Sri Krishna is extremely pleased. What does he do? When you are sincerely repeating the message of Krishna or his devotees as per the scriptures, Krishna empowers your tongue with spiritual power to have effect on the hearts of people who are listening to your message. What did Prabhupada say when he first entered Manhattan? Finally, after Boston, he went to New York Harbor and he went to Manhattan. He was seeing tall buildings and bars and restaurants and clubs and nightclubs and everything. What he was saying? Oh Sri Krishna, these people are like completely into the illusion of Maya. I can see completely enamored by the illusory power of Maya Devi. And I don't know how I will convince them. I don't have language which they speak. I don't have the accent. I don't look like them. I wear weird clothes. My hairstyle is weird. But I have faith in you. Now, O Krishna, I plead to you. Please speak through me and my tongue. Nachao, nachao. Let me use me as a katputli, as a puppet in your hand. And empower my tongue to deliver the message. And you convert their hearts from materialistic to devotional hearts. This is the right way of doing things. Right approach, right mood to get empowered. To feel oneself unqualified. Plead to the Lord sincerely and ask for empowerment. And then the Lord will definitely empower. Even if you are fool number one, Prabhupada wrote, I am fool number one. I don't have any knowledge, don't have any qualification. But I have faith in you that if you empower my tongue, the hearts of the people will be changed. And that happened. We see the result now after 55, 60 years. That millions of people have taken to Krishna consciousness. And the beauty of the whole thing is, after 44 years of Prabhupada's departure, 10 times more people have taken the holy name of the Lord. So, Prabhupada's empowerment still is there in the aura of the world. And we can access that. It is still there. Otherwise, how it would have happened? If big Acharya goes away, then everything finishes. We know the history of many sampradayas. But here, the big Acharya did 108 temples before he left, and after he left, 700 temples are already there. And much more are coming in pipeline. Many more are coming constructed and many more devotees are there. Many more, you know, in Pune temple I went, thousands of books per day are distributed, off season of book distribution. Thousands. 46 Bhagavatam sets. 22 Chaitanya Charitamrita sets. 28 Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita, 3,556 Maha Big Books on an ordinary day. This is Prabhupada's power coming through sincere devotees. Those who are accessing that power, it's coming to them, it's available. It's free Wi-Fi of spiritual empowerment. There's no password required. You just log in, get it. So one beautiful thing Prabhupada writes here is that nobody is a non-devotee. Everybody is a devotee in principle. Some of them have chosen to forget that, and some of them have chosen to not believe and become agnostic. So there's nothing like non-devotee actually. I never like to use that terminology, non-devotee. You can say non-practicing person, non-practicing spiritualist. But everybody is potentially a devotee by nature, by constitution. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bhavanam vidudhati kaman. Everybody is potentially a devotee. Simply we have to uncover the dust which is there, blow the dust, and then the fire will come out immediately. The coal is covered by the ash. We blow air, the ash goes away and the fire comes out immediately. Nikhara. That's our position. We have to simply keep giving. And you see, when you give, people take also. The effect is already there. So, this Narad Muni, time is getting over, but how wonderful this personality is, you cannot fathom actually. He is a true preacher in the true sense. Every single thing he does is simply dedicated to help people to come out of the influence of Maya and to take shelter of Sri Krishna. Every single activity. Sometimes he is very mysterious in the way he does things. So he's also, you know, before we became Krishna conscious in Hare Krishna movement, Narad Muni was a item of joke. We used to hear in always school, Kal Lavya Narad. That means wherever he will go, he will create some controversy purposely, and he will fool people, and he will, very smart he is, and he will try to pinch people and go away. So that is the difference between information and transformation. We have information, but with the association of devotees, we get transformation. We understand, oh, Narad Muni is not like that. It is not the good right way to look at Narad Muni like this. Narad Muni is such an exalted personality. Even his father worships him and respects him. That is Narad Muni. He was a Gandharva before, then he fell down as Dasiputra, and as Dasiputra he served the Vakti Vedantas and ate their Mahaprasad. And of course heard when he was serving. So listening to pure devotees, serving pure devotees and eating their remnants of food. These three things he did, and then Dasiputra became Narad Muni next lifetime. And what is the meaning of Narad Muni? He can travel from Gauloka Vrindavan to all the Vaikuntha planets through Brahma Jyoti. He can cross or be in Viraja River, come to Karana Sagar Vishnu, come to Vaikuntha, any local Vaikuntha or any local Brahmanda or any of the planets of each Brahmanda. In any Brahmanda, he can walk in. He has an entrance everywhere. Not just roam around and look at the beauty of the creation, but simply to save each and everybody possible to the lotus feet of Krishna, deliver them. It's a fantastic example. And he has no other attachment. Oh, you should worship me, touch my feet, I will get an asana of Raja Singhasana, he will put me on. Yes, he's not attached for anything. Even if he's insulted, he's respected, not respected, he will keep doing his business constantly. Sometimes also controversial, you know, you will go to Kamsa and instigate him for Bhruna Hatya, for Navajata Shishu Hatya, killing the newborn. People are asking questions, how can Narad Muni instigate Kamsa to kill newborn babies? Because he knows past, present and future. And he has a purpose behind it, which is difficult to understand, to hasten the advent of Krishna for the sake of the world. So appears absurd. But because of knowledge that he has of past, present and future, he doesn't mind doing such things. Because he knew their past, what will happen now, and they will be delivered by Krishna in the future. He knows everything. He knows everything. And he is the personality who has entrance into Krishna's Leela. See, he has a visa for every place. There is no place in the whole material or spiritual creation where he has no right to enter. He has got right to enter in every nook and corner of every part of material and spiritual creation. But more important than that, he has entrance in the Lord's pastimes. He has entrance in Krishna Leela. He has entrance in Gaur Leela. He has entrance in all other Leelas also. Where he is not there. He has entered into, Abhi, time is very short, I'll just mention to you. He has entered before Krishna's birth to instigate Kamsa, to hasten the process of Krishna's appearance. Then he appeared when Krishna was born and there was Nandotsav going on. He appeared there to celebrate the birth of Krishna. He was there. Then there, when there was Holi festival going on the day of Holi, Krishna has a procession which starts from Nandgaon to Barsana. And everybody dresses up like Huriyara. Huriyara means they have a very typical dress. All the Brijbasi boys and girls, boys mainly, they dress up in a unique way. They can be identified. They are coming from Nandgaon to Barsana to play Holi. In that Julus also Narad Muni was there to assist the Lord. Then when Radharani was born in Rawal at the bank of Jamuna, and he had his calculation because he's a divine personality. He knows everything, what's happening in which loka, which Brahmanda Krishna is appearing, which Brahmanda Gauranga is appearing, which Brahmanda who is appearing, everything he has full understanding, full knowledge and full cognition and full realization. And he is also eager devotee. He's not, okay, I am having knowledge. I know that is a place where Krishna is coming. That is where Radharani is appearing. It's not like that. He is very eager as a devotee to go and witness and participate and, you know, serve. So he goes there. And then because Radharani was not opening eyes, not hearing, not talking anything, so they were a little upset. They said, this is very inauspicious. So Narad Muni is asking, is any baby girl born here? So they said, no. Because they were very shy. And then some other people at home told Kirti Maya and Prishabhanu Maharaj, these sadhus are very powerful. They can do miracles. You don't tell lies to, like a doctor and wakil, you don't tell lies. You all tell everything, whatever is there. But they need to know everything. Like the sadhus also, you should not hide any truth. So they called him again. Yes, Maharaji, yes, baby girl is born. But you know, she's blind and he knew the full story. Why she is blind and not talking and not hearing. So he solved the situation. I put long Leela, but he made Radharani open her eyes. He made her hear and he made her speak by arranging a festival where Krishna came and touched her. More beautiful and subtler than that, Krishna even didn't touch her. He entered the room and his aroma entered her nostrils. And she recognized, this is my dear, this is the fragrance of my beloved, and she opened her eyes. And then he went and touched her. So Narad Muni gave the pleasure to Brishbhanu Maharaj and Kirtida by solving their biggest puzzle of life, because so beautiful she was. So like a great blessings, Brahmaji spoke to Narad, to Brishbhanu Maharaj, this is your past tapasya's fruit. Radharani, the Antaranga Shakti is appearing. But she was blind. So happiness and sorrow together. But pure devotees come and they solve it. And then Narad Muni, see, Swartha and Paramartha always are together. In fact, Swartha is a part of Paramartha. When you do Paramartha, Swartha is included in that. You don't have to worry that when I am too much Paramarthi, too much Paropkari, what will happen to me? What about my salvation, my benefits? Don't worry. As soon as you choose to become Paropkari, Sri Krishna comes in immediately to take care of you. So Narad Muni is helping them to receive Radharani in the fullest form and speech and everything. At the same time, he had a desire. I need to also have a darshan. So she gave darshan to him. Everybody vanished. She gave Shodasha Varshiya, eternal form of darshan. And Narad Muni fell unconscious again and again. Again and again, again and again. Saw her again unconscious. And finally, he said, I have one more desire. I want to see you with Ashtasakhis. So she said that you go to Kusum Sarovar and then you will get darshan of Ashtasakhis with myself. So Narad Muni from Rawal started dancing and singing the holy name, tossing and toppling and, you know, rolling in the dust and rolling and I don't know what you call somersault. He didn't know He didn't know how he traveled. He just flew. But he was rolling in the dust, falling. He didn't know anything. He just reached Kusum Sarovar. And there he was met with first Lalita, and then he was met with Madhavi Gopi and Vrinda Gopi. On the request of Lalita Devi, after welcoming by Lalita Devi, she told Vrinda Devi and Madhavi Gopi, please do the needful. So they took him to the southern corner of Kusum Sarovar and they gave him bath. After having bath, he was turned into she. He was no more Narad. He became Naradi Gopi, Naradiya Gopi. And then Madhavi Gopi Vrinda Devi, you know, decorated her beautifully as a beautiful gopi. Beautiful Sringar was done personally by the two gopis who are as very special gopis of Radharani's friends. And then holding the hand of this beautiful Naradiya Gopi, these two gopis took him over the invisible bridge on Kusum Sarovar. On Kusum Sarovar and Radha Kunda and many other places, there are many invisible bridges which lead to one central lotus divine flower on which are seated Radha and Krishna on Ratna Singhasan. And on the 8 petals of the lotus, there are Ashtasakhis. So when he was taken on the bridge to the lotus, he saw on 8 lotus petals, the 8 Sakhis were standing, they were serving, singing songs. And he was taken inside. First he had Darshan, she was taken inside and she was given chamar and she served Radha and Krishna, the jugal jodi. We have a beautiful song, no? Tara madhye hema pitha ashtadale veshtita ashtadale pradhana naika. So then Radharani, after the seva was done nicely, accepting the seva, she said, you please stay here and write the book on worshipping me, us. So he said, oh Radharani, I have been cursed by Daksha not to stay more than 3 days, and this kind of literature will take many, many days to write or many months to write. How will I stay? He said, no. Radharani said, the curse of Daksha is applicable in the material world where there is birth and death. This is my divine abode. This is not under the jurisdiction of material world. This is spiritual world. Here there is no curse applicable. You stay as long as you want. So Narad Muni was so happy. He was taken out again from that whole divine assembly and arrangement. And again he was given bath. And then he again regained his male form. And he was in total ecstasy. He started dancing and went towards north direction. Dancing. 1 kilometer away from Kusum Sarovar on left side. And he stayed there. And there is a place called Narad Kund. So thus Narad Muni has permanent residence in Vrindavan Dham, in Govardhan Narad Kund. Not many people. Parvati Devi, Lord Shankar, all over Brajbhumi, Lord Ganesha in Kamyavan, Narad Muni in Narad Kund. Not many other people. Nobody else. Everybody has to, no rain basera, not staying in the night. Come in the daytime, meet, remove your chappals outside, keep your vehicles outside Braj. Come walking in, have a meeting and go. Nobody can stay there. Brajbhumi is very special. Narad Muni is one of the residents. Then, Narad Muni came to meet Kamsa. I told that. Narad Muni is also a very special personality. When Indra was denied his worship and people worshipped Govardhan, because Narad Muni went and informed Indra, are you aware your puja has been cancelled and Govardhan, the stone, the inert stone has been worshipped. He instigated. Why? Again. Because he wanted to promote and enhance the pastime of the Lord. The Govardhan Leela, Govardhan lifting pastime is a multifaceted pastime. It has got so much in it, you cannot imagine. So much. Radha Govind Maharaj speaks for 7 days only on Govardhan Leela, lifting of Govardhan. So much stuff is there, what Krishna performed. So Narad Muni went and instigated Indra. He got angry and he went down and he was saying, I'll go Sambartak and I will come with my thunderbolt and I'll see and punish the Brijvasis, destroy them. And in the process, the beautiful Leela came up. Narad Muni also went at Lalita Kund, where Jhulan festival is going on. And everything was ready. That place was decided. All Vrinda Devi's arrangements were done. Decorations were done. Everything was done beautifully. And they were just waiting for Radharani to come. Krishna was already ready, decorated. All the other gopis were ready. Everything was ready. Scene was ready. Jula was set. Everything was set. Radharani was yet to come because Shringar was still going on. And Narad Muni just comes there at Lalita Kund. Lalita Kund is a place in Nandagaon. It's like Barsana embassy in Nandagaon to see what's happening there and to report and to decide what to do. So Narad Muni went and said, "Hare, what's happening? Why are you all standing? Why don't you swing?" He said, no, Radharani is yet to come. He said, "So what? In the meantime, all of you are decorated. Oh, Lalita, you sit with Krishna. Do you all agree?" Everybody said, yeah, very good, very good. So she was very hesitant. No, it's meant for Radharani. I will not ascend this jula. But everybody somehow, you know, like got convinced and said, "Yes, Lalita, please, we will all ascend, help you ascend the jula. And you swing, we will swing both of you." It's a very wonderful opportunity. When Radharani comes, we'll put her on the jula. So reluctantly, Lalita accepted. And they both were ascended to the jula. And all Julan Dila started. Narad Muni saw this happening, immediately left to Barsana and told Radharani, "Radharani, what are you doing here?" "So I'm doing my makeup, it's still incomplete." "You keep doing makeup only. The jula is already started. Lalita is singing with Krishna. Do you know because of your delay what is happening?" And she was like, "Wow, really?" And she said, "I don't believe this." She just got up and went and she saw in Lalita Kund, Lalita is swinging on the jula with Shyam Sundarji. She got angry and she went away. One of the many, many reasons why Radharani does Maan. So she did Maan Leela after that. So again, Maan Leela is a very esoteric, confidential, deeply divine Leela. And he's also enhancing that, creating a situation where such esoteric pastimes can be manifested by Radha and Krishna. Narad Muni came to Pilipokhar after giving darshan to, having darshan of Radharani at the birth of Radharani at Raval and then Kusum Sarovar. Radharani, then finally they shifted to Nandagaon and Barsana, right? Vishwanu Maharaj settled in Barsana. So there, when Radharani was crawling baby, Kirtimaya would take the baby to down the mountain and, you know, like pond and garden and forest and beautiful areas. How we take our children to stroll in the evening. So Radharani was crawling and Radharani was given some dry fruits, meva, sukha meva in her hands. And she was like crawling also and having putting something in the mouth. And mother is overseeing her. Everybody else is also watching. Beautiful Radharani. Her ankle bells are making beautiful sounds and she's crawling in the beautiful lush green garden. And Narad Muni comes there to have darshan of baby Radharani. And as soon as she sees Narad Muni, Narad Muni is with Jata, you know, and Tapasvi, Bhav. So he's not like a sweet gopi. I mean, he's sweet, but differently sweet. And Radharani got really scared and she ran in the lap of Mother Kirtida. And Mother Kirtida took her in the lap and she was like, you know, hiding her face in the sari of Mother, again looking at Narad Muni. And Mother is saying, "Oh, hey, Sriji, why are you so upset? He's the same Baba who came to bless you when you were born. You know, the ganda that you have put in your hand, the arm belt, the auspicious thing, he had put on your arm when you were born. And because of him, you could open your eyes, you could hear, you could sing beautiful songs and make killol, dhwani killol. He's that Baba only." So she was still scared. And then Narad Muni came further and further closer to her. Then she immediately offered the dry fruits from her hands to his hands. And she indicated to Mother, "Please take me away." So Mother took her away. And Narad Muni had the prasad of dry fruits. And he relished that dry fruit with tears in eyes. And that happened at Pilipokhar, at the banks of Pilipokhar, where there is Priyeshwar Mahadev temple, where Radharani was crawling. And I'll just mention now, Narad Muni is a guru of all maha, 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 maha great souls. Narad Muni is guru of Dhruv Maharaj. I mean, where is Dhruv Maharaj? Walking away from home, Suddenly Narad Muni appears. Oh, he needs my help now. Then all discussion takes place. Mantra is given to him. Because of that mercy, Dhruva Maharaj, although he was passionately angry, he could get darshan of Lord Vishnu. Prahlad Maharaj, in the womb of Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu, in a very awkward situation, Narad Muni goes and saves her from Indra, gives shelter to her in his ashram and teaches Srimad Bhagavatam. And Kayadu was not listening. She was anxious about when the husband is going to come. But the baby in the womb was listening because Narad Muni knew he is the source of a great pastime going to be revealed in the future. He is a great Bhagavat Mahajan. So he nourished him with Bhagavat. And was so strong nourishment that even though in the company of all Rakshasas, he was never affected by their association. In fact, he gave association. And he made Lord appear from a pillar in a mysterious way to deliver his father and his kingdom and his people. Then he met with Valmiki when he was not Valmiki and gave himself association that particular person who was like hunter in one sense, killer of animals mercilessly. He became the author of Ramayana. He became a great sadhu, worshipable sadhu. Brahma came, hearing his curse in Sanskrit. That was so sweet. Brahma said, you should write Ramayana. Although what was heard by Brahma was a curse uttered by Valmiki in Sanskrit. But by the mercy of Narad Muni, he had such power and transformation in his heart that he became author of Ramayana. Today also, Ramayana is the most precious jewel in our life. Then Mrigadadi the hunter also, we know the same kind of story. Then the greatest disciple is Veda Vyas. Today we have all these scriptures because of his inspiration to Veda Vyas. His timely coming and solving the puzzle of Veda Vyas. He was really puzzled, although he was embodiment of knowledge. He said, how I am not getting pleased? What is incomplete in my writing? And that was told by Narad Muni at right time at the bank of Saraswati to Veda Vyas. And that is why we have Srimad Bhagavatam today. The crushed jewel of all the scriptures. The Veda, Sarva Vedanta Saram. Repeatedly in 12th canto, 13th chapter, this word comes. Sarva Vedanta Saram, Sarva Vedanta Saram. The ultimate knowledge filled with rasa needed for the living entities to attain Krishna, to understand Krishna, was actually manifested by the mercy of Narad Muni by his timely counsel to Veda Vyasa. And then, a big list is there. He is the biggest guru. He has got such list of disciples, which are also themselves guru and worshipables. Then he visited kings like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, and many, many kings, because he is the eternal personality. He doesn't have to wait for Satyayuga, Kaliyuga, or dissolution, or re-manifestation. He is always there. So all the time, he is meeting those kings in the heavenly planets, demigods, and earthly planets, the kings of earthly planets, and constantly guiding them, inspiring them. One quality is that even when he meets demon kings, they bow down to him. Kamsa said, after that council, that which is the eighth petal, you don't know, why take chances? So Kamsa said, now I know the importance of having guru. This is the importance of guru, that guru tells you exact right things at right time. So now I will not leave any child. I will kill everybody. Even demons like Kamsa and Ravana, they all are bowing down to Narad Muni. There is no dispute about that. And Narad visited Dwarka and visualized all the 116,108 palaces of queens of Krishna and what Krishna was doing, the multifarious activities, variety of activities, divine leelas Krishna performed. Narad Muni was the witness. And he was also the participant of the great pastime, which you don't have time to describe. When Krishna had headache, he was the one who went to Vrindavan Dham and announced. And he was the one who got the dust of the lotus feet of all the gopis and brought back to Dwarka, applied to Krishna, and Krishna was relieved of headache. In the bargain, he was the participant of the Leela, which taught the queens of Krishna why he was always chanting the name of Radha and Gopis. The question was answered by this Leela. And the glories of all the gopis, how they were beyond all any material calculation, that was revealed. And Narad Muni was very much part of that Leela. He was constantly there when Krishna was having headache. And we can go on and on talking about Narad Muni. Suffice to say, he is a very unique, mysterious personality of devotee of the Lord. And that's why rightly, because he is constantly chanting the holy name and traveling, and because he is fully dedicated to the mission of the Lord of deliverance of fallen conditioned souls and uplifting everybody, he is also addressed as Bhagwan. And he is very dear to Lord Krishna. And if ever we connect with him, what we will receive from him is only mercy of the Lord and the holy name. Bolo Narad Muni Maharaj ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai ho. Thank you.